Well, if you're familiar with us, you expect me to say, take your Bible and turn to Luke, because we're walking through Luke, but we're taking a week off, Abide, part two, and so I want you to take, actually, your little booklet that you've got in the bulletin, and people were grumbling about the color of the last one. It wasn't flashy enough, so I kind of went outside the box. Abide Volume 2. My creative daughter said, Dad, you are so creative. And I said, yeah, I know. But I want to talk about it, and I wanted you to look at it, actually. Right under Volume 2 there, kind of cattywampus, John 8, 31 and 32. And I want you to notice by the bold words that it is an if-then statement. Countless times I have pointed this out to a businessman or a friend or a person, whoever I'm talking to in person, and I've actually written this out for people because this verse is so powerful, this statement of Jesus Christ. If you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. September 7th, actually middle of the summer or so, I started thinking about September 7th. I seldom think that far ahead when it comes to the pulpit, but I was thinking that would be a great time in the fall for us to be challenged with the original Abide. And we had a great time, and I gave you a 30-day challenge. Somebody wrote me and said it ought not to be called a challenge, but a delight, because it is so delightful to spend time in God's Word. But so we kind of marked October 12th off, which is actually 35 days, 5 weeks ago. We began, and now we've had a chance to abide. And based on the principle that we saw in the Scripture, that God, when you guys get a king, you're going to ask for a king, and when you get a king, there's three things I don't want that king to do, and there's one thing I challenge and charge, I command the king to do. And I won't go into it, it's in Deuteronomy 17, I won't go into the three things that they were to avoid, but I will speak to the one they were to do, and we had it in our booklet last time, Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. I want him to write for himself a copy of the word. In the presence of the priests, it was the priest's job. It wasn't the king's job to be making copies of the Bible. The priests were the guardians of the Scripture, and they didn't just run printing presses. We can be thankful we live in a day when we've got our own copies. But he was to copy for himself in the presence of the priests and then read it every day the rest of his life, his personal copy. And if it's good for the most influential man in the nation, the guy in the Oval Office, so to speak, the guy on the throne, the CEO, got plenty on his schedule. He can't delegate this. God says, I want you to write the whole law out. If it was good for him, I think it'd be good for us. And many of us have found the value of copying Scripture, slowing down, listening to the voice of God, and copying. And hence we were given 30 passages that take about 10 minutes to spend time in. And today I want to further encourage us along this matter of abiding. 118 times the word is used. It is a central New Testament concept. 118 times. It's often translated abide. We talk about our abode, where we live. Live. It's often translated stay. Continue. Timothy, continue in the things you've learned, the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God. Continue in it. That's this word. Continue. Live, dwell, remain, stay in God's Word. Now, if you've participated in the 30 days, you already know the value of this particular way. And this is a way. I want to underline that right now. What we've done the last 30 days, and it's been a great time. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know many of you have because you've been telling me. And we've been in many settings where we're saying, boy, this is really good stuff, this Word of God. You know, it is a method, a way to abide. It's not the way. There's other ways, obviously. But those of you who've given it a run, and I know that's many of you, have already found out there's great value. It liberates. Look at that verse again. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It really does. It liberates. It strengthens. It deepens. It sanctifies. It causes us to grow. It's the one tool He left with us, the sword of the Spirit. And to get into it daily and to listen to God's Word, to hear it, to mull it over. The Old Testament term that I would parallel to this New Testament term of abide is the word meditate. To chew the cud is what it meant, literally. To just chew on it, you know. Think about it. Mull it over. Let it kind of simmer and savor the beauty of what you're hearing. The word of the Lord is pure. You know, every scripture, by the way, that we've heard was out of the 30-day challenge. I mean, so they're familiar, and yet it's so rich to hear them again. And I just tell you, do you long for real strength in your Christian life? Abide in His Word. Would you like to be a man or a woman of real convictions, not merely adapting to what everybody's saying and the latest fads, but having sunk your roots deeply to where you know what's right. You know what you want to do with your life. You have deep convictions. Oh, there's a need for that in what we call sometimes evangelicalism today. Men and women of conviction. Where's that come from? How happy is the man who doesn't hang out with the ungodly and listen to all the riffraff, you know? The first psalm, the first passage we copied, how happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How can a young man keep his way pure today? Think about it. Don't think about it. The internet, the ever-present phone, everything around us. Each World Series, well, we're not in the World Series yet, but we're almost there. But every October, you can, if you really tune in, which I do, you see another step downward in the advertising, don't you? Another, I can't believe that barrier was crossed. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Thy word I've hidden my heart, I've treasured it in my heart, that I might not sin. This book will keep you from sin. This book has so much to say. Now, you know, I want to be very practical today. And did you notice there's a hashtag in here? Page 3. If you want to tell us what you're learning, you know, how God is using it, make use of the hashtag there at the bottom of page 3. But we didn't have that before, but we still kept hearing. And so I wanted to read just two or three testimonials, because thank you, those of you, and we're getting them not only from this church, but elsewhere. God is, you know, this is spread. But I want to share a couple, and I'm going to change or not give you the names so that, you know, these remain. But I wanted you to hear first person. Myself and my two older children are doing the challenge. This is right in the middle of the 30 days. We've had fun doing it. For me, I've been reading the Bible for about 12 years. And now while writing, I find that certain words are emphasized for deeper meaning. Or not really noticing other words that I found I was reading over. I've been thinking about the different scriptures throughout the day when I can. Sometimes my children and I discuss what we're writing. We're reading first, then writing it, and then reading our writing of it. I would like to write out a whole book and mail it to my friends as a letter from God. I also got the pleasure of wondering what it would have been like for an author of Scripture to write God's holy word. Have you thought about that? I have. When you're writing down the very words of God. I was telling my wife that I would be interested in writing out Romans, as you guys do through the project. And this 30-day challenge came up, and I hope to finish this and continue some other passages to do with my kids, and then I think I'll do the book of Romans. This is a blessing. Thanks for the idea. A gal writes, I started well, but, maybe you're going to listen up, you know, because I started well, but, I've been there. I started well, but we went away for the weekend and eventually for an event, and suddenly I'm 5 days behind. I want to savor the word, so I will do one or two passages a day until I get caught up. This has really shown me how much reprioritizing I need to do in my life. It shouldn't be hard to squeeze in 10 minutes a day, but it's been a challenge. I need to make God's word a higher priority than it has been. I love this challenge. It's convicting, inspiring, and is a great way to ease into the habit of spending more time in God's word. Amen. The 30-day challenge, another one writes, has had a definite impact in my daily life. The challenge was presented in God's perfect timing and kept me in God's word daily, which I really needed while going through a hard time physically and emotionally. I've been amazed at how much I look forward to the time each day and how it's a little sad when I finish the passage. Yeah. I feel a renewed love and excitement to spend time daily to copy down Scripture by hand and hear God's voice. It's also very cool to know that many others are doing the same thing each day. We're all in this together. This next one is from one of our missionaries in the Islamic world. And we know the world we live in today, and so I'm just not going to tell you names or anything. I'm just going to read this. I'm even going to change the name of the language. But hi, they wrote directly to me. Hi, though I have had the practice for a long time now of writing out Scripture, I have really enjoyed these 20-some days now of writing out the different passages you gave. The Lord has used them in our own lives and the lives of those around us as they have been fresh on our minds. My spouse and I are also writing them out in the language of the land they're in. So we're doubly abiding. I encouraged a few local people here to do it with me. I'm going to change names. I'll just say Bonnie. Bonnie and her mother said it came at a time they really needed it, and that the passages are sticking with them through the week, speaking to them and on their minds to share with others. Bonnie's mom last night told me how much she's enjoying it and quoted Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wonderful things from your word." Quoted that, saying with a big smile that she prays that every day before reading and writing. These are people who, not too long ago, were bound down to Allah. I'm looking forward, the missionary goes on, to how the Lord uses it in a new believer's life that's starting this week. Thought you'd be encouraged to hear this. Thanks for the constant encouragement to abide in his word. For fun, I attached a picture of my," and they are doing it in the other language, you know. So if you can read this language, you can decipher all this. And in fact, I was going to ask the guys, if you want to roll those pictures, there's a bunch of pictures that have come in too. But they included the picture of the foreign language journal. And another one writes, and this is interesting. After talking with my friend Betty, who's 91, about the blessing of taking the challenge and copying daily, I picked up an extra copy and sent it to her. She's not part of this church. She called and said she started doing it herself. She enjoys the meditation it affords, and she will also ask the young woman she mentors to do the same. Isn't that exciting? To think about a 91-year-old encouraging a young gal to do it. I could read several more, but I think I'll stop and just say, you know, it's very encouraging. And I've heard verbally many more. And I would encourage you to send us on that hashtag, encouraging thoughts that way. We've been seeing this happen from Africa, you know, as the men are giving themselves in a similar way to Romans, the value of that, and then as they get taught Romans. So we've been hearing these kinds of things for some time, but it's very encouraging to just know that God is using this. And my prayer is that God would stir us to continue, to, in other words, remain. Continue taking 10 minutes a day. As we gathered as deacons and elders, the church council Tuesday night, we heard bunches of stories. One guy was saying how much this has helped him think it through and not just have his mind wander when he's reading. Another businessman on a trip said he met a person that he knows in another state, and he gave him this booklet and challenge, and the guy said, "This is so doable. 10 minutes, I'm going to do it." And it bounced around the room like that, and then we just took another passage, and just copied it out. We just sat there for 10 minutes quietly, all of us in the room. And then we just said, anything hit you? I just had a light bulb, you know? And then a question mark, and then an arrow. The light bulb, anything hit you from this passage? Just think about that. And then question mark, any questions this raises? And then the arrow. Any way this ought to impact your life, apply it, you know. And that's, by the way, when you come to the scripture, observation, interpretation, application. Observe. What does it say? Interpret. What does it mean? Apply. What does it mean for me? The Bible is meant to change us. And so we listen, we observe, we see what it means, we think, and then we apply. I would encourage you that any small group setting you're in, you can do something that simple. If you got a piece of paper and a pencil, you know, you can just take 10 minutes quietly and then move from there. 10 more minutes to mull that over, and then we broke into small groups in the council meeting. We had a great time thinking about things we saw, lights that went on, questions that were raised, and what should it mean in our lives. And I would say we all came away from there with a great time. Take your booklet again and look in the middle page, 4 and 5. Tomorrow, if you look at page 7, I tell you which page, and then I tell you another page. Page 7, you see the calendar? Tomorrow, October 13th, Monday, Psalm 2. Each one of these take about 10 minutes, okay? Tomorrow's Psalm 2. Well, look at page 4 and 5, and the teacher in me, you know, the preacher in me, I couldn't resist doing a little bit of teaching. And so you have Psalm 2, and I just bring your attention to it. Obviously, it falls into 4 stanzas. And just as obviously as you observe, and I have over here on the left-hand side, page 4, some thoughts on Psalm 2. lined up with those stanzas. There are four distinct voices in the psalm. The psalmist, first verse. The second stanza, God the Father. Third stanza, God the Son. Fourth stanza, God the Spirit. I watch the same evening news you do. The world seems to be out of control. There are so many things that cause anxiety and fear if we don't look upward. If we're looking to just the leaders themselves are saying, it's kind of out of control, it might, but I think we've got it figured out. Yeah, I don't think so. The nations are in an uproar. The psalmist is shocked, though, at the folly of their rebellion in that first paragraph. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and his Christos, his anointed one, his Christ, his Messiah. That's the world we live in. And the psalmist says, can you believe it? And what do they say? Against the Lord and his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. If there's one way you want to lose an election, just come out for morality, God's morality. You're done. You didn't really say that, did you? I mean, that's where our world lives. Rebellion. Cast away the fetters. Whether you're talking local politics, national politics, or international politics. Shaking the fist at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, anyway, the psalmist, that's the psalmist. But then, what a great comfort this psalm is. Because the one in the heavens, God the Father, who sits in the heavens, he's not troubled. You can read the psalm. He says, I've established my king. In fact, he laughs at their rebellion. And then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. And then he says, I have established my king. And then the king speaks. And we have New Testament confirmation of that third stanza. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ. He's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. He's coming back. He's in charge. Now, what does the Holy Spirit say? The final stanza. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Mull that second psalm over tomorrow, and you'll find comfort for your soul. And it's not just make-believe. It's the truth. The truth is what liberates. The word of truth. Well, I'll stop. But I got some tips for you. Remember 5 weeks ago, I mentioned all the young guys going for, I think it was the P90X about 5 years ago, where you go 90 days and get yourself in shape and get buff, and 90 minutes for 90 days, and then, you know, and it was kind of the fad for a while, and I just realized, man, I'm not going to do that. And the skeptic in me said, they're not either. Because it was based on, you know, you got to make it hurt if you're going to get in shape. And it was that kind of thing. And so I asked one of them who was really into very good shape and everything. I said, hey, what could you do for 10 minutes? And I expected him to laugh. I said, just 10 minutes a day I'd like. And, you know, he didn't laugh. He said, I've got just the thing for you. And I told you how helpful that was to me physically. Just to have something. I'm not going to go spend 90 minutes a day coughing my guts out to get in shape. And you're not either. That's why you're laughing. Let's have a show of hands. Who worked out 90 minutes yesterday? Yeah, see what I mean? I know. I didn't give you a chance to raise your hand. Go ahead. Be a liar. Okay. But, you know, spiritually, I tell young guys, and get an hour and a half if you can. But I also know that if you can get 10 minutes, I'd rather see a guy, I really would. I'd rather see a guy do this for 30 days, and then through Thanksgiving, this calendar takes you through Thanksgiving, by the way. And in fact, I'd rather see a guy just do 10 minutes a day and still be doing it 5 years from now than 2.5 hours of Bible study for the next 2 weeks. Because we need daily meditation in God's Word. And let me exhort you, don't grind it out. Enjoy the Bible. Revel in it. Don't hurry, abide. And all you got to do, is pray, ask God to speak, and He will. The book is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It really is. And interacting with it in this way, you really do hear the voice of the Lord. And so don't grind it out. And then my next tip, do grind it out. What are you saying, Scott? I'm saying that for me, and I think this is true of every person, that there are times when I don't feel like getting in the Bible. I'd rather read the sports page. I'd rather just veg. I'd rather do just about anything. But I've found that if I just do it, grind it out. Go ahead, just start. I find that God uses that. Just like any other area of your life, some days you really look forward to getting to the office and attacking the workload, and other days you don't feel like it. So just do what you feel like. How will that go? You know, so do grind it out. But enjoy, okay? What if you're behind? Some of you maybe got started and then you fell off the wagon, you know, and you're just, don't worry about it. That's one reason why I laid it out as a calendar. This, it'll keep us together. It's kind of fun to be together. But also, just pick the day you're on and just do it. And then you've got some other good passages to go back and pick up someday. But don't beat yourself up. The goal is not to check boxes. The goal is to abide in God's Word. And you'll bear much fruit, and my Father will be glorified. Do what works for you. I don't know, you know, this is my hand printing, and I did a lot of Bible copying like that very carefully in just a very disciplined format. And for years and years, that was a huge blessing to me. This particular run, in this last summer and through the fall, I brought some props. And I've been, you know, doing the dollar store journal like you. And I just write as nobody else in the world could read this but me. No, my secretary could. She's amazing. But I just enjoy just kind of the free, and so I'm enjoying a new way of getting into the Word. Do what works for you. By the way, you know, again, there was a few of you grumbling about the boring journals. You know, just they're all black, so we really went crazy this time. They're out there in the resource center. They're all a buck. What are you kicking about, huh? No, actually, I was thinking about it. I've been motivated over the years. I was digging my little bag here. I love moleskins, you know. Some of you are classier than dollar store journals. And do what you like, obviously. But enjoy. And I'm kind of down to a junk journal that I like, a dollar store. But it's going well for me. Now, some of you said, could we use a spiral bound? We've got standards. I mean, that won't count. I'm sorry. Spiral bound. If you must. But don't lay it on the coffee table. It makes marks. Did you notice? I'm going to quit. I know. Did you notice the 30-day? Oh, by the way, did you see the little bookmark? I forgot about that. You've got the 30-day and the other calendar right on one sheet. And use that. Stick it in your Bible. It's handy that way. And, you know where you're at. But we've got, if you notice, actually, you can look at that. The first day of the last time was Psalm 1. And the first day of this time is Psalm 2. And I'd like to spend more time in Psalm 2. I just love it. And you'll read it tomorrow. And one more thing I want you to notice is that next Saturday, the 18th, is Numbers 9. You say, well, so? Well, that's what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. We're going to take another week off of Luke. And I would encourage you to think about copying it out on Saturday so that Sunday it's fresh in your mind and heart, and we'll look at it together. And then the next week, we'll be back in Luke. You can look at the Saturdays there. The Saturday is just right before heart preparation for Sunday, you know. Luke, and then we're going to have Missions Sunday, November 2nd. So Romans 10, and then we'll be back in Luke. So this is actually timed. The women's retreat is the 24th and the 25th. 23rd and 24th are right there in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. So we can kind of have some purpose for why we're in these different passages, and I would encourage you to enjoy them. Next week, Numbers, you say, why am I going to Numbers 9? Because when I was sitting on the beach, I was picking passages, and Numbers 9 was when I picked, and I thought, man, this is good. And I told Chris, I had to preach this sometime. It was just, you know, a 10-minute passage. And she said, well, why don't you? And so I'm going to next Sunday. And you can enjoy it Saturday. Don't look ahead. But, you know, enjoy it Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll look it over together. We'll mull it over. We'll meditate in it. Let me close with Psalm 1. And we're not closing, really. We're going to sing again, too, because this makes you want to sing, doesn't it? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord starts his songbook with that psalm, encouraging us of the blessing and the happiness of really abiding in his word. Final note, his word is all about his son. You don't come to God by spending time in the Bible in the sense of earning points. No. But you spend time in the Bible and you see the beauty of the only begotten Son. And Peter wrote late in life, he said, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is the living and abiding Word of God. The Bible is designed to point us to Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you for this. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you've established him as king. He will one day reign, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory, Father. Oh, we thank you that you've opened our eyes to the beauty of your Son. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've given us this book, these sacred writings that are able to give us the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in your Son. And leads to so much more than mere salvation. Leads to growth and fruit, freedom, strength, joy, and love, and peace. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. I pray that these next few weeks, Lord, would be a time of us continuing to continue. Remaining in your word, enjoying you each day, abiding and mulling it over all through the day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.